Well, good morning. It's nice to meet each of you. I got to meet lots of you before the service started, and that was awesome and so good to see you. It's interesting that I actually have been in this building many times over the years. You weren't here, though. I was at two times. I was here to interview Pastor Jesse and Pastor Amanda right here, and we had prayer together. I'll never forget that, right here, for their ministry and for the blessings that would rest upon them and how true God has been. Well, my name is Dennis Romine. My wife is Linda, and we're here as interim pastors to work with you and be a part of your life for a while. We live in Weston, Wisconsin, and it's not too far from here. I am accustomed very much of traveling through. We had son and daughter-in-law and grandsons that lived in Apple Valley for a long time, about 9.5 years, and we made this trek through Abbotsford all the way up, so it's really good to be here. You know, we're on a journey together, aren't we? You know, where we're going is in the hands of God, and it's so exciting to see what your wonderful pastors accomplished in the years that they were here at River of Hope. Pastor Jesse Rowe and Amanda, exceptional, wonderful leaders. We'll miss them, and yet we'll rejoice in what God is going to do. Hey, a little bit about me and my wife. First of all, I was a pastor at Christian Assembly in Wausau for 25 years and then retired about a year and a half ago and thought I might enjoy doing the retirement thing and discovered real fast I didn't like doing the retirement thing. So I went back to school to get certification to be a hospital chaplain. And I'm a hospital chaplain at St. Clair's in Wausau or Weston on a couple weekends a month, but I'm actually daily or weekly at St. Michael's Hospital in Stevens Point. So I have found a new career, not as much loved as pastoring was. 25 years was a long time in one church, and I rejoice that they kept me that long, and I loved living there and loved being a part of that. Linda is a retired school teacher. She was high school Spanish, and for a season was first year or junior high French. Lots of prayer for Linda during those days. Junior high French and high school Spanish. And so we have two sons. Our oldest son is Chris, and his wife Tracy and grandsons live in north of Dallas, Texas, far, far north of Dallas, Texas. And then we have a son who is Josh, and Josh is single and lives in Kakana and works in the Appleton area. So, hey, it's nice to be here with you. We're going to go through some studies together. And what I like to do is series. So we'll do some series. Some will be short, some will be longer, and some will be standalone sermons. And what I like to do is just unpack the word. Let's see what God says, and then let's see how it applies to each of our lives. I thought we would begin with the subject of blessings. And I'd like to talk about the blessings and how to get to the next level. And I think that's kind of where you're at. I just feel that energy and that excitement this morning that you're ready to go wherever God leads you, wherever God takes you. What's the next step? I don't know it. You don't know it exactly, but it's all in place. You have a wonderful search committee that's formulating, that's working with our district superintendent, Larry Levy, and they will be in the process of the search process. And during that time, I will be a part of the Sunday morning ministry here at the church. So I'm kind of excited about where you're going. I like your culture. I like the feel of your congregation. I like the fellowship. I like the coffee bar. I like to see you out there chatting with one another. And I like to see you come and worship together. And Alexa and Danny, the music and worship was wonderful. Thank you so much. It was great. It really touched my heart, brought me close to God. Well, let's begin with a scripture this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 14. The scriptures begin, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whosoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in the many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And then in closing, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, encompassed in all of this is some pretty profound things. First of all, he tells us that for those of you who have decided in your heart to give, and by the way, it would be appropriate to talk about giving money, but this sermon is not about giving money. This is about something on a greater scale of who you are within your community, within your church, within the world that you are a part of. That God says to us, if you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but you've been cheerful about this, then God's got a great plan for you. There is something in store for you. And that's true individually for you and I, but it's also true collectively for the influence of River of Hope Church in this community. That if you are willing, if you have made up your mind and your decision and decided in your heart to give whatever talent gift you have to the kingdom of God, God says blessings will come. And in those blessings that come, you personally will be elevated to a new level or a next level of relationship with God. And consequently, this wonderful body of believers, this church, will be elevated to a new level, a next level of many blessings. So I love it when the Apostle Paul brings these truths to us and begins to talk about it. And it tells us in this fashion that you have been made rich in every way and you can be generous. And the generosity by which he's speaking about is that level of ministry that God has given you in the body of Christ and in this community. See, you're an influence. I always feel like, please don't be offended, but I always feel like we're like billboards for God. You know, and on 29, they catch our attention. And especially the ones that said, you could advertise on this one. Well, in many respects, we are advertisement for the kingdom of God. We're like billboards. Whether we know the influence or not. Let me tell you my story. Years ago, Linda and our sons at that time were high school and junior high students and had purchased a gas grill for Father's Day for me. And when it came close to Father's Day, they told me, here's your gift. Go down and pick it up at the store in downtown Wausau. So I went downtown, but I forgot that little label that's supposed to tell you everything about you. The number was on the label. And so you present that label to the lady and you can pick it up. I forgot it. And so I got to the little window to offer the fact that I'm here. I forgot it. I said, I forgot the little ticket. But I'll give you my wife's name and our telephone number and our address and whatever else you want. And so I walked in line. I got in line. All of a sudden, there was a couple people ahead of me. And I waited. When I got up there, the lady continued to fuss around with the previous person's paperwork and stuff. And I just waited there for a while. And then she said, can I help you? And I go, yeah, I'm here to pick up my Father's Day gift, my gas grill. She says, do you have the little number? No, I can't. I forgot it. But I'll give you my wife's name and our address and everything. And in disgust, I'm bugging her with the fact I don't have the information she really needs. And she wasn't wanting to look up the name. So she finally went and did it, and then she diddled around for a little longer, and finally took a long time, and I'm sitting there going, I should just go home and get this little ticket. And I sat there for a long time, and she kept telling me how she needed it, really it was difficult, it was a lot of work for her, and I thought to myself, don't say a word, but bite your tongue. Just be really kind and nice. I've never met this lady before in my life. She doesn't know who I am. And therefore, I will get my stupid grill and I will leave. And as I was leaving, she said to me, "Have a good day, Pastor Romine." You and I are billboards, whether we know it or not. We are actually examples of Jesus where we are. And you will never know. You just never know when someone sees Jesus in you and you think they don't see anything in you. They think, you may think you're anonymous in relationship to the influence of people that come into your life one time or 100 times. But you and I are influencers for the kingdom of God. And Paul says to us here, you have made a decision in your heart to give, and you are cheerful about it, and therefore you have been made rich so that you can be generous on occasions. On occasions, you can be rich with what you offer or you have to give. And it may involve many levels of opportunity. It may involve just being someone present in a situation where calmness and peace is present without you saying a word. So I love what he does. I love what he gives us here, and I love what he tells us. There is a parable in the Bible. And have you ever noticed that about the Word of God? That where there's a statement or there is a truth or there is a doctrine, there is also a corresponding scripture or Bible story that kind of builds it up and it reinforces it. There is one. I kind of like this one too. Now, I forgot to make a disclaimer. Every Sunday, I'll probably say, this is my favorite scripture. And I did, and I will. And trust me, you'll hear it every now and then. The parable of the sower. John, in Luke chapter 8, listen to this. This is so close to home. I grew up on the farm. My grandparents raised me on a farm. So I love this concept, and it speaks to me. And so it did this morning as we were driving in from Weston. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out to them, "He who has ear to hear, let him hear." Now, this is the meaning of this parable. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word. So here's what we are. We are billboards, don't be offended, in this world. We are the examples of Christ to people who don't know him. And we have the great opportunity just to be whatever is needed in a situation that God places us in. We have the gifts, the focus, and to work in that realm. Many times, have you had friends, they called you just to share something with you, and you discovered in the conversation, they didn't need for you to tell them anything, but they did need for you to listen. Sometimes there are situations in which we're present, and there's a lot of chaos and destruction, and you have the gift of laughter or the gift of humor. And in the midst of that difficult situation, you're able to bring that in focus and help everyone come to agreement and even come to a moment of happiness and joy. Well, the Bible says here that you've got a lot of seeds to plant, and so have I. And the generosity of God, who has given us these seeds, has also given us a venue where we can do it. Unexpectedly, unknown, sometimes planned, sometimes known, we have an opportunity to plant seeds that will reveal the goodness and the love of God, of which he promises will reap a great big harvest. So it's kind of like personally, if you are kind to other people, you reap kindness. If you are concerned and caring and you relate that to other people, you reap that back. The seeds are given to us, and the seed is the Word of God, and the Word of God is often given in different manners. It was Augustine who said, "Preach at all times, and when necessary, use words." Preach at all times and when necessary, use words. The opportunity is so real in our lives. So God says the seed is the word of God. God then will increase whatever is planted. God will increase the helping the hopeless, reaching out in love to those around us, having gifts of compassion and love. The scriptures tell us here that what will take place is this: God will increase whatever is planted. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7 from the Living Translation, read this: I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It is not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. So it's not important who does the planting, because there may be some situations where you and I are witnesses for God in which we see very little or just a tiny part of what influence you may have had in that person's life. But it is but the beginning, and someone else comes along and waters that seed and that promise of hope. So it says it's not important who does the planting or the watering, but let me remind you, it is important that both are accomplished. So you and I can't do everything for the kingdom of God. We can't do everything to take this congregation, this body of believers, to the next level. We can't do it all on our own, but we certainly can do it together. And so therefore, Paul says, hey, I'm not going to tell you who planted the seed or who watered the seed. He said, that's not what's relevant. God will give the increase. What is relevant of the fact is somebody's got to do it. In my life, I was a high school student. My parents had divorced when I was in second grade. And through a long story, I ended up living at my grandparents' home. By this time, my grandparents, who got busy with life, never raised my father in church, although my grandfather and my grandmother had been very active as young people in the congregations that they grew up in. And by the time my father came along, they lived out of town a long ways. They were on the farm. Probably the Depression was part of it and everything else. So my dad never went to church. So consequently, when I was born, guess what? I didn't go to church. Had no influence until my senior year in high school. In my senior year in high school, I had an aunt who said to me, you're going to church with us this Easter. And I reluctantly and maybe even a little regrettably said, okay, I'll do it, and went to church with them. And there I met a godly minister who preached the gospel in that little United Methodist Church in a little town of 250 people in Banner, Illinois. And someone had planted that seed. My aunt had planted that seed. And then my pastor watered that seed. And then one night, one evening, in an evening youth service, a drama team from Peoria, Illinois, came to our little town at the Methodist Church and did a play, a drama. And in that drama, I remember to this day the pastor. I still know him and still keep up with him. He was a young man getting ready to go to college, and he said these words. He said, if you have never received Jesus and you want to know him, come up here, we're going to pray with you. So here's what happened. Somebody planted that seed. Somebody watered it. And someone helped bring that along. But here is the harvest that took place. All of that was instrumental by someone like you and me doing whatever we can for the kingdom of God. Anything that we can do. And it begins to influence others. The blessings comes upon us. And then all of a sudden, the blessings comes upon the church. And they say to you, and you may be sometimes reluctant, do you go to River of Hope Church? Do you go to River of Hope? And you're waiting to see, should I tell them, yeah, or should I say no? What are you going to do to me? And that influence is there because God blessed that. And that seed grew and was multiplied over and over again. It's multiplied in ways we can't even see today. It's multiplied by the influence that you've had in this community. And it's not only you faithful members who come to this church, but let me tell you something. There are some other people in other churches in this town, in this rural area, in this state, in this region that is serving God today because of the influence you had, and you don't even realize where that seed that was planted is taking place in their hearts right now. It's an amazing, wonderful thing that the scriptures are telling us here. It tells us that the seed is the word of God, and the word of God has to be rooted in our hearts. The very encompassing thing about the word is, when it is deep within our hearts, it begins to grow. And the influence of that growth, from the watering that takes place by whatever measure or means, and also the keeping of it and the caring for it, all of a sudden that word begins to grow in our hearts. And it's rooted there, deep within our hearts, so that our culture and our world and the influencers in our life can't take it away. They can influence us, but they can't take away the word that's deep within our heart, because it is planted there by God's love and grace and mercy. So the word then is rooted in our hearts. And secondly, for the word to be rooted in our hearts, you have to spend time meditating on it. Somehow, every one of us in this room has to fight for that time to somehow study the word of God. Now listen, I'm going to tell you what I do, and if this isn't the best means, and it's not probably the best for you, but here's what happens in our house. First thing in the morning, I have this little devotional thing that comes up on my iPhone. And that's how I start the day. Just got to get something planted in my thought, in my process, in my mind. And I just begin to read a little bit of that word, maybe read the entire devotional before I get going. And then I focus on that. It's something like this. It becomes a habit that's like this. Has someone ever introduced a song to you that you'd forgotten for a long time, and all of a sudden that song comes back, and you're humming it, you're singing it, you're subconsciously thinking about it and reading it? That's what the Word of God is like. It's been planted in your heart, but when you begin to read it, somehow it triggers something, and that something can be anything that works for you, that triggers the word that day, so that every day, even before you have your Pop-Tart, you have a little bit of the word of God in you. Something in you begins to grow and mingle and work within your heart, and you begin to realize that there's a seed that is growing within us. So the word has to be rooted in our hearts. We need to meditate on the word. And thirdly, we need to permit and give permission to God that we guard our mind against anything that contradicts the word of God. So the seed is planted, it's the word of God. The word of God, we grow as we meditate on it and we think about it and as we study it. And then we caution ourselves, guard our hearts that nothing comes against and contradicts the word that God has placed in our hearts. No contradiction by those who would try to rob us of our relationship with God, or try to influence us in not believing what God says and accepting it as His word. That we become very conscious of the fact that I am going to accept His word, and I'm not going to permit anything to come in against what God says. If God says it, that's where it's at, and that's where I will stand in my heart, and I will walk that out in my relationship with God. Well, let me move on here this morning. That is the fact that God created the system of seed time and harvest with His words. Love the fields. It's in you. So I'm driving down the highway and I'm talking to Linda, who grew up in a university town in Missoula, Montana. So here's this small town farm guy driving the car. There's Linda sitting in the passenger side, a captive audience. And I'm saying, boy, look at that corn this year. I'm sure she's going, Looky there, they're harvesting beans there, right? Look at that. Look at how good that crop is. When we went to Linda and I went to our first pastorate in Illinois, we told them where we were from. And I told them I grew up in central Illinois, and Linda grew up in Missoula, Montana. And you would be surprised, many times more than not, they would come up and say, Did your father raise sheep? Did he have cattle? Well, she grew up in a university town. She never saw the farmyard. And it always struck our fancy that people would want, thought for sure her dad probably was a rancher too, since I grew up on the farm. But she grew up in the city. So I'm driving down the road and I'm going, look at that corn this year. That is awesome. Look at that. That's because the process of seed time and harvest is a part of who we are. And whether we work in a factory or in an office or on a ranch, we understand this process here in central Wisconsin of of planting seeds and reaping a harvest. The scriptures have been given to us. The word of God is 66 books of seeds. We've got a lot to plant. We've got a lot to work with here. We have a supply that's not going to run out in our lifetime. We have the word of God. And when the seed, God's word, has been sown in our hearts, the results will be evident. Our heart will always go where we put our seed, God's word. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the next slide is the last slide in this part of the series. We'll pick this up again next week. This slide says, permit the word of God to govern every action of our hearts. In other words, hey, if God says it, let's put it into action. Let's try it out. Let's see how it works. Let's see how it works in our lives. Several years ago, I was the what's called a presbyter. Presbyter means little on the local church level, but it's a pastor in a regional area who has oversight to about, I think when I was presbyter, while I lived in Wausau, about 19 churches. And I was involved as much or as little as that pastor wanted me to be involved. And I remember the first time I met Pastor Jesse Rowe. And I met him, I believe, Rich Lindbergh and I met Jesse Rowe at the restaurant truck stop at the Edgar exit, at Edgar. And I remember that day, we met there. And the first time I met him, I said, something clicked in my heart about him. And I just saw something in him that just gave me hope and gave me such an excitement about what was going to happen, because none of us knew what was going to happen. I don't even know if he knew you were going to be here at the time. I'm not sure if he even knew what was going to happen at the time. But I remember that first time I met him, and I knew there was something that clicked in my heart about this young man and the opportunity that God had about to open up to him, that God was about to do. And I was not disappointed. And I remember those times when I called him on the phone, talked to him on the phone. Now we text everybody. I'm in the living room, Linda's in the kitchen, just text her. Make it easy. I'm teasing you, but it's almost true. There are days. When I began to see what God was going to do in his life, I knew that a foundation was going to be laid in this congregation, that a church was going to be built. And you are living proof of that today. You are living proof of what God is going to do in the years ahead. So what's going to happen next? I don't know. I'm not a prophet, but let me tell you this. God has already prepared a pastor who's ready to come to this church. He may not even know it yet, but God has already prepared a pastor in the wings, in the waiting, who's become pastor here. Will it be a few months or a lot of months? I don't know. But let's have fun together while we wait. Let's ask God to speak into the heart already of this family that you are ultimately going to choose as your new pastors. Let's start now, and let's have a party. Let's see what God's going to do. I'm very excited about your future, and I just want to thank you personally for giving me an opportunity to be a part of it. Thank you to you wonderful board members for talking with Larry and Rich. And how it all come down, I have no idea. But I'm so thankful that this opened up, that I could be a part of your lives. So let's do this together. Let's believe, and let's see what God has. Let's move forward. Let's be faithful. There will be other families that you'll meet along the way. I have this hidden ministry of I write notes. So I'm going to ask for Shannon to give me a list of people's addresses. And let's connect with people again. And maybe you have some people you would like to connect with and invite them to church. Who knows what God's going to do? I'm just here to tell you, hey, let's do it together. We certainly have a big God. A lot of seeds have been planted in this community under Pastor Jesse Rose ministry that have not yet been harvested. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. Let's take the seed of the Word of God and let's plant it in our world and in our communities and in our influence and the sphere of influence that God has given us. Let's plant the seed, the Word of God. Could you stand with me this morning? Thank you for being here today. So board members, can I pray? Can I close the service this morning? Thank you. All right, let's pray together. Now, Lord, we know that you are in control and you're such a great God. Oh, we cannot be disappointed by the blessings you've given us. You walk us through all of the events of our life. And even the moments of uncertainty and struggle, you were there. Even those moments when we didn't know what to do, you were there. Even though there may be fleeting moments, what will we do without Pastor Jesse and Pastor Amanda? What will we do? God, you know what we'll do. We will faithfully serve you. We will continue to plant the Word of God and use the gifts that you have given us as influencers in our world. Lord, I just want to pray over every family today that they will experience the wondrous presence and goodness of God. May assurance come to the hearts of those who are uncertain about the future and those who are wondering what will happen next. And yet, Lord, we are very confident that you are in control and that you are a great God and greatly to be praised. So, Lord, I want to bless this congregation today. I want to thank you for the opportunity for each of us to sit together, learn together, to study your word together. And I'm praying today in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord that you will bless and keep your hand upon this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Hey, bless you for being here. I'll stick around for a few moments. Anyone needs prayer, let me know. Otherwise, turn to your neighbor and bless them this morning, and you're dismissed.